If there's a new development in tech, he's on it. The Tech Report with Stephen Ambrose.
Stephen Ambrose, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, and you? No serious cabin fever, so all's good.
Well, that is brilliant. That is very good indeed. Stephen, this subject is starting to become more and more important. We're starting to see lots of ways in which our health or medical records around where we've been, who we've been in contact with, what our preconditions are starting to be captured in the fight against COVID-19. How does that impact on Poppy, on our privacy? How do we get that balance right? What is the current situation?
Well, the situation is extremely complex and fraught, unfortunately. Now, I looked really hard this morning to find a subject that didn't relate or go back to COVID, but I suppose that's the all-consuming element of everything today, and technology is absolutely no difference. There's no question that the use of technology to fight pandemics, to fight any form of global or even local health issues is becoming massive. And in fact, on the quiet, which a lot of people don't even realize, the use of technology in healthcare has absolutely revolutionized healthcare and the whole methodologies around how healthcare is delivered globally, and is going to probably accelerate unbelievably because of this scare that the world's had. Never before in the history of man has so many countries, companies, people collaborated on various elements of the technology and the systems and the platforms in order to assist around global health and detection and all the various matters. So we are seeing an enormous amount of time, effort, and money being thrown at a problem. And one of the key problems in a pandemic of this sort, and I mean, the jury's still out, more and more evidence is coming out that perhaps this is not much worse than sort of the average flu. On the other hand, those that are affected are certainly not pleased to find out about anything other than a cure and a solution to their problem. So it's multifaceted and a lot of stuff is happening. But one of the key interesting developments around tracking is that in America, both Apple and Google have collaborated on the platform necessary to use Bluetooth for anonymous tracking of people. And they are both collaborating, which is like another first thing ever, to come up with the necessary APIs, the programming interface that are accessible to third-party app manufacturers, for example, with the various necessary tools and tips and hints and technology backbone in order for people to be tracked with Bluetooth. The benefit of Bluetooth is it doesn't track all the various elements of your phone. Because remember, your phone connects to a mobile network, connects to Wi-Fi networks, and they can geolocate you almost down to a meter using satellites. So phones become an enormously powerful tool to find out where you are and where you've been and what you've been doing. I mean, simple. If you have Google Maps on your phone, even Apple, and you go and check where you've been on Google, you will see exactly where you've been down to the last meter, when, where, how, and what. And all this technology is being proposed and is being used in certain places to track outbreaks, to track people that have been near the outbreaks, and to warn people to go for testing and whatever needs to be done. So ethically, it's a challenge. Privacy in terms of Poppy, GDPR, and various privacy rules around the world, there's been a huge hoo-ha. But my simple take on everything that I've read around this is that tracking via mobile, tracking via wearing a little armband is coming. We are going to have some form of platform. It's been announced in South Africa that they're going to use the mobile networks to do it. There are a couple of flaws in that. It's not that accurate. It's not that easy to implement, and it needs your consent. So if someone has COVID and doesn't consent, it sort of kills the whole thing. It needs almost 100% adoption to be truly, truly effective. But some form of technology tracking is coming to an app on your phone shortly. It'll probably be pushed by the mobile networks. You won't have a choice. And they will start looking at your details because of, in South Africa, for example, we've got the RICA system where every single SIM has to be registered to an address and to a person. It's not 100% effective, but I think they're close to 90% on Rika. And if you use the Rika information, cross check that to the database of those that have been infected, and then start checking who's been near those people. You can do an incredible job of mapping using very simple computer algorithms, mapping exactly where people have been. So the privacy issue, I think, is going to take a backseat to the emergency issue. And I think we are going to definitely see some form of, I think, and definitely don't work, but we are definitely going to see some form of electronic tracking via a mobile device for everybody. And the benefits of that, if you ignore the security and the privacy issues, the benefit of this type of tracking is that it'll proactively warn you that you have been near someone for a period of time. They're talking about 15 minutes near someone who's had COVID, and you should go and have a test. And what it'll do, it'll highlight hotspots around the country where the spread is happening quickly, and they'll be able to isolate regionally and allow more people to go to work and do certain things. And like in China, you may even have a green, orange, red barcode on your phone, which will allow you to travel anywhere you want if you're green, stay in isolation, or rather be cautious if you're yellow, and do not move if you're red. It sounds a little bit like science fiction dystopian future, but it's something I think we're going to have quite shortly. Mm. The privacy we'll have to discuss down the road.
But what's also interesting is it goes beyond that, is a lot of the sites, I mean, I know that I went onto one of them the other day. I was looking for the nearest testing facility for somebody that I needed to take for testing. And they asked a whole lot of questions around age, preconditions, et cetera, et cetera. And, obviously that was all going into a database, which it should, because the more information they have, the better. But I wondered where that information goes, and where rights were protected in terms of privacy there.
Unfortunately, everyone's scrambling around doing all sorts of things that need to be done. So, for example, to have a national database of infected persons and persons that have been tested is an absolute must. I'm sure you've noticed, those of you who have been out, if you pop into any store other than Pick and Pay and Woolworths, they make you fill in a form. You've got to put down your details. You can go into a hardware store now, and you've got to write down that why you're there and who you are. And theoretically, all this data should land up somewhere soon. The collection and the collation and the cleaning of that data is going to be quite a big task. But ultimately, I believe that there will be one central database of truth, if you want to call it, where infected or affected people will be monitored, managed, and tracked. And as I said, if you overlay that on a simple Google map using standard, fairly standard technology, it's very easy to start analyzing and seeing exactly where these cases are happening. And I mean, right now, the regulations are very blunt swords. All people over 60 don't travel. How's that possible in the context of a normal society? You can't create bans that big. People with comorbidities mustn't travel. Understood. But who are they? What are these comorbidities? Are they impacted by COVID? There's so much more granular detail that'll allow the economy to come back from the dead, if you want. And that can be driven by data and apps. So people have to accept that if you want granular data that allows you to operate and gives you a free pass in this context, you need data. You need to know where you've been, who you've been speaking to, and what your own particular issues are or not. So if you're a perfectly healthy 70-year-old, you've never had a problem, you're not on any drugs, you have no other underlying issues, the chances of you being severely infected by or affected by COVID is probably low. But how do you know that? And that's where I think the magic of this whole database is going to come in, if they can roll it out quickly enough and get it to sufficient people. Now, you were talking about Holland, you were talking about Sweden. They have a completely different social dynamic to us. People were told stay home, they stayed home. They can do that. I mean, houses are small there, but it just changed the way things work.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, we have other challenges.
100%. You can't just say that, well, that was what they did and this is what we are doing, because so many of the circumstances are completely different. It is 8:48.